This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Good to have you on board. Heavy Hoops here on a Friday live in Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino is the spot. Greg Hoops Peterson on the show coming up in 30 minutes. Thanks for watching on YouTube TV, listening on SiriusXM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates. I'll give you the double revenge games coming up in a couple of minutes. Kevin Rogers will expand on this coming up in about 90 minutes as well. Crazy today with the results. But the game that's going on right now in the Missouri Valley, Illinois-Chicago is leading Murray State 56-26. The updated total now, live total, is 163.5. And that closed at 150 and a half today. And after Belmont and Drake went flying over by, 40 points, 30 points, something like that today? In that game, that quickly now coming to a halt, much like the angle with Luke last weekend, where these games are now suddenly flying over and they're coming. We're getting a little bit of regression now.
All the threes are going in and the pace is frenetic. Not much you can do.
Yeah, it's up and down the court.
And that's what's I said, be careful with this one. And certainly Drake just had the game of their lives in the first one as well. So onward and upward. And don't forget to focus on the Summit League as well. One correction. Yep. I thought you were talking about the Wild first period. But the games have still been solid.
Okay.
The first period run has cooled off in the first period. So this is, I have it 8-1 now going back, double revenge. 8-1 ATS, 3-0 today.
This goes back to yesterday, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, because it was 5-1 yesterday. This week so far, before today's game's 10-7. But this morning, like before the show started and this game going on right now qualifies, Drake was a double revenge game.
Mm-hmm.
They blew out Belmont. And we're going to be talking about just against the spread and covering, but Drake covered one big. Gardner Webb, awful. High Point, good. Double revenge for Gardner Webb. They covered. Florida Gulf Coast was double revenge against Lipscomb. I want to get the closing number here. It was Lipscomb 3.5, 4. Gulf Coast beat them 77-53.
Never a game.
And this game right now is also double revenge in Illinois State. Closed a 1.5-point favorite.
Illinois-Chicago.
I'm sorry, Illinois-Chicago. And they're up 58-36 right now. We have 10 more games to come yet tonight.
There's a lot of teams like Belmont and Murray State. Liberty comes to mind as well. They're not playing good ball down the stretch,
mm-hmm.
and it's carried over into the conference tournament. I would fade Liberty, too. They lost again. By the way, Winthrop scored 12 points in 29 seconds to end that game and beat Charleston Southern.
12, that reminds
me. That's got to be a record. 12 points in 29 seconds.
That reminds me of, I think UNLV trailed San Diego State like 20 years ago on the road by 10 in the final 30 seconds, and they won the game. That led SportsCenter right after. Crazy. People are losing their minds here in the city. Games that are starting a little bit later on. This is a 5 o'clock Eastern. This is actually starting right now. My apologies. Stetson, Austin Peay. Now, Peay is a huge favorite. 12, total about 153.5. They're 21-8 on the year. Stetson, not great. 12-20, double revenge for Stetson in that game. You have the Metro Atlantic, 6 o'clock Eastern, a team that we've talked about a handful of times going back in recent weeks on this show, and I have them 3-1 to win the conference tournament, and money on Sacred Heart, by the way. Merrimack takes on Sacred Heart at that time, down to 6.5-point favorites now. That's double revenge for Sacred Heart. Didn't? Mm. Richie Bacciolari told us yesterday that he took Sacred Heart at a huge number to win this tournament.
I believe he did. 60-1, something like that.
Yeah.
Memory serves. Okay. I find this one fascinating in the Summit. Nebraska-Omaha was swept by South Dakota. Nebraska-Omaha is favored.
Much like in the game going on right now.
And this was a bigger number, though. This was 3.5.
Mm.
Now it's 2.5 at DraftKings. So that's a double revenge with a bang right there. That I got swept, I'm favored, and by a pretty good margin. $1.70 on a money line at some spots. That's a good one.
We have double revenge for VMI. They're taking on UNC Greensboro. VMI is 6-25 on the year. That's 7:30 Eastern, but I will give you this. Member of the FTM Army, great dude. Chris LaCroix messaged us during the show, and he said, do not, under any circumstances, bet on VMI. I have tracked every SoCon game for 3 years. They stink. Even if they cover, you should not bet them, is what he said. That's his local small conference. And he said that he's taken Citadel. Been playing better, especially on the road. So if Chris is wrong on that, I'll give it his address later on in the show next week. And you can go, I'm kidding, of course.
Social, too.
Yeah.
Did you say Longwood?
That qualified.
Did you say that?
I did not bring it up yet. But.
All right, because Hoops is on UNC Asheville. He makes it a bigger number. So he'll talk about that coming up, too. But that's another one that fits.
Northern Iowa, winners last night. Game somehow stayed under. They're on double revenge against Illinois State. Fairfield, double revenge, St. Peter's. Portland against Washington State a little bit later on tonight. We'll run down. That's some of the list. Again, Rogers has been tracking this for a long time. He's going to join us coming up at 6:30 Eastern time.
Looks like it's headed to 4-0 today and 9-1 ATS the last two.
Pretty good.
All right, that's a good angle. Keep following that. Excellent. And these unders, again, updated numbers on the Summit League. All three games have gone under so far in the Summit League tournament. 16-3 the last 3 years. 154.5. Bet down to 149 in the Nebraska-Omaha game. And then Denver and North Dakota, 166 down to 160. Which it flips, right? It's a historically great high-scoring league in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Then it flips in the conference tournament. And the big boys got there yesterday, advancing to the semis, but both games stayed under. So, but this is a whole different ball game compared to the Valley, though. You got sky-high totals. Yep, those are the current numbers now.
I'm looking at
149.
The last time Denver played North Dakota, it was on the road. Denver got them 98-79 in that game. And the time before that, it was 93-86. So both those games in the regular season flew over the total. I will remind people that this is a conference that has done well, either winning games outright or throwing good teams for a scare in March Madness. If you don't recall the Summit League, remember it was, first of all, Peterson was coming up in 20 minutes here on the show, Hoops. Famously gave out Oral Roberts, not only with the points, when they were a 15 seed against Ohio State a handful of years ago, the Buckeyes were playing scorching hot basketball, right? They were one of the best teams in the country. He said Oral Roberts is going to beat them.
A guy walked into William Hill right before a tip, I think, and bet six figures on Ohio State on futures. Final, I think, to win the region and to win it all.
Yeah.
He was bounced in the first round, 20, 40 minutes late, whatever, hour later. Incredible. And then they won another game, so it was no fluke. So you're right about that, how the league has done over the years.
So I think this is going to be about in an hour from right now. I know we're throwing around a lot of times, but appointment TV and appointment radio here today. I'll give you one number tomorrow on the schedule. Have you seen Duke, North Carolina yet?
Yep. Wilson now out for the year. I saw a number before this was announced that he was out for the year. I can't believe it, considering Duke lost to him in the first game.
The
rivalry game, everything, and it's not like Carolina's bad.
Yeah, so the first number that I saw was Duke 15.5. Caesar said, sit down, pal. And why don't you make yourself a cocktail? They put up 17 on Duke. 17. Is that a big enough number for you to grab the Tar Heels?
17.5.
Duke is down to like plus 260 to win the whole thing. That's a dollar short of where they were at this time last year. And that team was loaded to the... But again, I will point out, Mike Palm said yesterday, he reiterated today during this blackjack tournament here at Circa, that they have Duke with a higher power rating right now than last year. And I really firmly believe that the title is coming from one of four teams this year, and that's it.
How about Kentucky down to 6.5 at home to Florida?
They played Florida last time they met.
Yeah.
And that Florida has been the second half machine now, pretty much going back to last year. The last time they didn't cover, and in fact, Kentucky played them dead even, was in that game. That was 93-84. Florida got them the first time. That was in the swamp, and now it's at Rupp tomorrow. So I also do not want to get in front of this freight train known as the Florida Gators. Just can't do it. So if they win out, I've made my point on this before. I know that they have, what, six losses? UConn has three. If Florida wins out, UConn wins out. Is UConn the fourth one?
They going to use head-to-head? How much does that factor in?
I'm sure that will come down to it a little bit.
You hear from your source, Miami of Ohio source?
I'll reach out to him soon.
See what he says about what's going on in the building?
The game's 9:30 tonight?
6 Pacific.
Okay.
Down to 4.5 at DraftKings.
4.5?
I want to see if it's more of a home atmosphere, home environment, with the spring break and maybe Ohio kids aren't there and Miami of Ohio takes over the gym. See what he says inside the gym.
Yeah, he alerted us to that last week.
A 4.5 of DK now.
Yeah, it's a quick trip. Hop in, you know, you're going to Miami of Ohio. You're big time fans of the program. They go on this unexpected run, regular season. Of course, you're going to make this drive and take over the gym. I mean, that place should be all their fans, I would imagine, in this game.
But this will not stop. This is just like the first game. Illinois-Chicago just scores every time down.
Yeah.
What were the odds you're going to have back-to-back 100-point games after 13 straight unders? They got 70 points with 15 minutes left.
They are, oh my God, they're running them out up 25. So,
wow.
Has it flipped so much that the theory becomes now bet alt overs in this conference?
No, these are two outliers. These are two teams that get up and go. Belmont can score. Great shot. They had the game of their lives, and Murray State plays up and down. I think it's going to correct itself at the next two.
NBA next. I'll give you a player who has gone over this number in 7 of his last 8 games. Coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Greg Hoops Peterson on the program coming up in 15 minutes. His best bets with analysis on tonight's card. And we'll ask him about the marquee games in college basketball tomorrow as well. You think Charlotte is the biggest talking point tonight in the NBA? Because we do have Dallas and Boston. You get Tatum's return. Flake came back last night, and you get the Knicks-Denver.
Expand on your tweet from the other day that you're here for everything Charlotte-related.
Oh, because I have them. You name it, I have them.
No, but do you believe it?
I do. I believe it, yes.
Yes. So now, run down division. Do you have conference?
I do. 125-1. I have division at 150 and 250-1.
Okay. Started 4-14.
Yep. I have playoffs all the way from 11 all the way up to 14-1. I have playing at plus $4, maybe a little bit higher than that.
Tough thing is you can't maneuver right now division.
Can't do anything about it. I got to let this one play out.
I don't think they're awesome, and I'm here for it. I don't think they should be the favorite because they're 3 games behind Orlando in the loss column with 20 to play. The argument, though, is they just boat raced OKC and Boston both on the road. And best team in the league since January 1st with all the metrics and record-wise and how dangerous this starting five is.
Yeah.
So
I'm a little afraid tonight. It's a big number now all of a sudden.
Yeah. This is an all-time letdown spot, too.
Right. Now,
everyone's been pumping their tires after that performance. One thing to beat Boston, but they embarrassed them, and it was over early. So I think it's the biggest story going right now. Hope they keep it going. But then, you know, I'm looking at the schedule during the break. This is a team much like San Antonio, based on how they're playing, and that they could finish 17-3, something like that, and so 16-4, and then that will get it done. And there's no way Orlando's catching them, and how great they've been. So, but the other thing is the numbers here, it's the second longest streak in NBA history, 6 straight wins by 15 points or more.
Can you believe that?
It's no, I can't. The bad boy, no, not the bad boy. The Ben Wallace Pistons have the record. You also have the run where it's 16-2, 15-2 ATS run, also what they're doing. And then the offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency rating and net rating, what they're doing as well since January 22nd also. Plus 30 when those guys are on the floor. So between that, young team, cocky, they believe, mm-hmm. and it's good for them with a organization that's won nothing and moved, and then you get them back, and they haven't had any postseason success or anything to celebrate for 20 years. So good for them, and hopefully they at least get in, and we're not even talking playing, that they could get like the sixth seed and catch Philadelphia. That's in range too.
So when you go all the way back before they were getting popular, I got them their win total over 24.5 at even money. Remember, I love them. Yeah. And
isn't that low? What I said earlier in the show, it's 43.5 at Caesars.
And right now they have 32 wins. So they have to finish, what, 12-7? Is that what it would have to be?
Yeah. I encourage the viewers to take a peek at the schedule, which you're not going to be scared anyways, because what they've done. The other thing that would bother me today, well, worry me, they're much better on the road.
Yes.
Their A game, we have seen their A game in the road games. So that's also maybe a letdown, too, with the home folks. 43.5, yeah. 43.5 at Will Hill Caesars. And then you look at the schedule, and based on that, they've been the best team in the league since January 1st. I think that's a bet to be made on Charlotte.
If Orlando had lost that game last night, it would have been a big one.
Yep.
And the number might be a little bit shorter on them to win the division right now. But they have to have this one tonight. I mean, this is so big. They don't have many division games left. So in a spot like this now, in order for those other bets to come in, because, man, we're talking about a double, triple whammy here with multiple bets at 11-1 or higher to make the playoffs. And then division bets to hit all of those would be humongous. And so, I'm a little bit scared. I'm a little bit hesitant. And oh, by the way, now I know that they're playing the best basketball in the league for 2+ months now, but the first two times these two teams played, the Heat were favored by 6.5 and 7.5, and they blew out Charlotte both times. Now you can come back right away and say, yeah, dummy, that was also in October and early November. So, and
that's
the Heat
what I will say, dummy.
Yeah, good. Yeah,
a long time ago.
Thank you.
Who cares? It's a whole different team now. Whole different animal.
Look at that, by the way. 41-22 against the spread on the year. That is the best in the league on top of it. And plus that lineup.
Well, this no one talks about this. The acquisition of Coby White was huge. The Bulls just let him go.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great, because that guy can fill it up too. So they got several guys that can score. And in addition to what this starting five has done.
Oh, boy.
This death lineup part two. Are you worried about Knipple tickets now with Flay coming back?
I never hedged on Knipple.
His numbers are going to be there if he plays.
Yeah.
Because he shoots so damn much as well. I mean,
yeah.
Flay took 22 shots last night.
Here's why I have to be a little bit worried, and I don't plan on hedging. Unless Knipple gets like a $7 favorite and Flag is still playing, I might, who knows? I'll need more context than that. But you have to always be a little bit worried when it comes down to voters. I don't know. If the season ended right now, who would you give the award to? Because I would say that I'll try to be as realistic as possible. Flag would absolutely have a great case to win it. But I don't know if I could give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Knipple has been... I mean, the numbers that he is putting up.
Well, it's not Flag's fault, but also missing all these games lately, too.
That hurts, yeah. That's tied into it.
Yeah, and when we get down to the end of the season, how many, I think, games played is important, too.
Yeah, the other guy playing tonight, by the way, yep. I'm not betting Tatum over.
I don't think you can. God bless you. If you have a strong opinion on this, go for it. But I don't know how you can have a strong opinion anything Celtics related here.
Yeah.
With Tatum props and Celtics, because what's this going to look like? We know he's one of the best players in the league, but he was gone for so long. And then how many minutes does he play? How many shots does he play? Does he take? There's good stuff up at DraftKings. 20 points, 5 boards, 5 assists is 24-1. To have a triple-double at any point the rest of the year is 10-1. 8 made threes or more in a game is up there as well. And then they got all numbers here for his debut tonight. But this is going to be difficult about how many minutes does he play? What is it? Does he go over 12.5 points? And then what does it mean for the team, not only tonight, but moving forward? Because they have to adjust too.
No doubt. I'll tell you the guy that, along with him, what are we going to get from Jaylen Brown tonight? I mean, this has been his team the entire year, and he has responded magnificently. his points prop is 27.5. With Tatum, like, and
that
when
that might be too high.
Yeah, when does Tatum come into the game, by the way? A couple minutes left in the first quarter. Does he play 15 minutes tonight? Maybe 20? Isn't that the number they put on it?
Mm-hmm.
So I just, Brown's going to be that big of a, like, the usage rate with him taking that many shots to get to 28 points? I don't know. That feels like an awfully high number. So does the point spread, quite frankly. 14.5? And, yeah. You know, so some of these guys are going to be playing for Dallas now in the game.
Brandon Williams is back. That's good.
Yeah.
He missed the last game. I would look for him to go over his points prop. It's low. And he's been filling it up and going over on a regular basis with his points prop for the Mavs. And two bad spots tonight. Let's see if it works out. I think the Knicks should be higher than the 1.5 in Denver. Denver off the big win last night at home against the Lakers. Short turnaround. And the Knicks are sitting there waiting for him. The Knicks are playing good ball. And the Spurs off the huge win. I'm not worried about the Spurs. I'm worried about Denver from that standpoint because the Spurs are young and they're better than the Clippers. That was a great performance to shut down Detroit last night. But what do the Rockets have in the tank? They have to go not only lose at home, but they go to overtime and get beat against Golden State. And now Portland comes and arrests it, even though there's some down. Avi is not playing and Sharp's out too. But we'll see what Houston does, how they treat this. Probably the total's too high at 220.5 in the Rocket-Blazer game.
I mean, my God, can we expect a bounce back from the Rockets? I would think you almost have to because that was a pathetic loss last night. How do you put up that? By the way, Golden State was the better team the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
How do you play like that against Golden State in their recent form and how many guys they're down and you're at home and you have basically a full complement of players and you play like that? It was a terrible game from Houston.
They got out-coached, too. Kurt did a great job.
Here's the guy I was talking. Yeah.
Giving them wide-open threes and conversion, collapsing and helping guys down when Horford would drive or the kick and slash stuff killed them all night.
Here's the guy I was talking about. I got to pay this off. Sadiq Bey, points prop tonight, 16.5. He has scored 18-plus in 7 out of his last 8 games, 9 out of 12. Now, it's a back-to-back. They played at the Kings last night. They won. He scored 20. But because it's the Sacramento Kings, his points prop is usually 16.5. They bumped it up to 20.5 or 21.5. So too big of an adjustment, stayed under. But I think he probably goes over 16.5 again tonight. And also, I'll tell you why I'm playing an Austin Reeves prop a little bit later on in the show tonight, as LeBron and Ayton are out of this game.
Yep. Hard to do what Ayton did last night. They're outscored by 13 points in the 4 minutes he played. Juice Reel links all your sportsbook accounts, imports your bets, and gives you automatic tracking analytics. And it's completely free in the app. Everyone's bet history is synced directly from the books. No faking stats, no lying about profits. You're as good as your record says you are. Juice Reel ranks every better. And if you're the sharp better, you get paid when others follow your picks and win. The days of cappers lying are over. Download Juice Reel free today. Get it, Juice Reel, R-E-E-L, Juice Reel. It ranks every better. Go get Juice Reel.
Greg Hoops Peterson next. Best bets and analysis on tonight's card.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
College basketball hardcore style. Greg Peterson coming up in a second. Paul, for those just tuning in right now, can you recap what took place in this Winthrop game today?
Okay, so I ran it down a little bit earlier, but then I didn't see there was even more to what happened. So Hoops cashed a ticket, and he had it in his write-up. Winthrop laying 4, 4.5. Winthrop played Charleston Southern. They were laying 4, 4.5. They were down 7 with 40 seconds. Hoops, they scored 12 points in 29 seconds and 8 points in the last 13 seconds. There was made free throws, a turnover, another foul. They made like 4 free throws in the last second. What happened? They covered.
Just absolutely wild. That is probably the biggest luck box win I've ever had. We always recap the bad beats. You have to recognize when you're living right, and boy, oh boy. I was praying for overtime in this game. You just mentioned it. They were down 7 points with 29 seconds remaining. They somehow, some way, generated a few turnovers. And I thought that they were going to win this game by three because they had a pair of free throws. It's a three-point game with about one, maybe like 1.2, something like that, seconds remaining. Charleston Southern goes to inbound the ball. They completely throw the ball away, and then they foul. Winthrop hits both free throws to be able to cover at the free throw line. Now, if you took the closing number of Charleston plus 6.5, you got there. If you took a bad plus four and a half, that's one of the worst beats I've ever seen in my life.
I was going to say, guys, that's the kicker to the story.
Yeah.
He liked him at 4.5. It closed 6.5. And somehow they win by 5. In regulation to both your points. Come on, that the odds of that actually happening, that's less than 1%, right?
12 points in 29 seconds.
Less than a tenth?
Yep. That's an all-time bad beat. No doubt about it. All right, good job. Let's see if we can keep it going, Hoops. Okay, Longwood and UNC Asheville coming up. Longwood's favored, but you make Asheville 3.5. So tell us why you like Asheville.
Absolutely, and hopefully we don't need to overcome a 7-point deficit with 29 seconds remaining on this one. But that said, with Longwood, they've just been so sloppy with the ball this year. They're outside the top 20 in terms of turnovers on a per possession basis, and they're an awful 3-point shooting team. They're outside the top 280 in terms of the 3-point shooting percentage, and Asheville has been very rock solid with their 3-point shooting away from home. Shoot 36.2%. I really like Toya Solomon. He's a 6'9", a little bit of a do-it-all guy, shoots in the mid-30s from 3-point range. Gives this team some good versatility. Now, it's a Longwood team that's been able to do a nice job in terms of grabbing second and third chances, but they really don't have that dominant rebounder on their side either. They've been sort of searching for that point guard spot, which has led to all the turnovers with UNC Asheville. I do think that they're going to be able to hit some threes in this game. I think that they're going to be able to hold their own on glass. So I did make UNC Asheville the favorite. I do like them on the money line. And keep in mind, too, this is a tournament as well that's played a little bit closer to Asheville as well. So I think that that's going to help them out a little bit in this spot too.
Okay. Also, this is 6 o'clock Eastern. So coming up at the top of the hour, about 27 minutes from right now, what's your play with Northern Illinois and Akron?
I do like the over here. This is an Akron team that has been so good on offense. Top five team in the country in terms of points scored on a per possession basis. Northern Illinois is not great on defense. They are 296th in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis. Now, Northern Illinois, very sloppy with the ball. They're outside the top 350 in terms of ball security. Akron, neither here nor there in terms of generating turnovers. And it's an Akron team that does rank outside the top 100 in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis. So they do leave a little bit of something to be desired on defense. And it's an up-tempo Akron team. They're a top 65 team in the country in terms of total possessions per game. Going to be able to get a lot of scoring opportunities. This was overnight a 154.5, which I really like. I personally made my total more around 159.5. So even with this going up to 156, I think that you've got some solid value here for this over.
Game of the night, Miami of Ohio and Ohio. You think it'd be a high scoring game? And would you make your case for the favorite here, although it's down to 4.5 in some spots?
Yeah, very surprising. This was 5.5 overnight. Now we're seeing 4.5 to 5, like Miami of Ohio even more, because the three-point shooting disparity is big in this game. Miami of Ohio is a top 30 team away from home, shooting over 37.5% from three. Ohio's outside the top 330. They're shooting right around about 30% from 3 points for the season, and they don't guard the three either. Their three are in 25th in terms of opponent's three-point shooting percentage. Now, you thought that for Miami of Ohio, their point guard and Skulczak might be missing for a little bit of time, got injured over the weekend, was good to go on Tuesday. So Miami of Ohio was able to dodge a little bit of a bullet there. And truth be told, it's a Miami of Ohio team. If they are lacking in one thing, it's the offensive rebounding. They're a team that really doesn't grab a lot of second and third chances. It's an Ohio team, though, that they themselves are outside the top 200 in terms of rebound percentage. Other than Aiden Hadaway, you really don't have a lot down low for Ohio. And with Miami of Ohio being the much better perimeter team, both in terms of taking care of the ball and making threes, I think that you get a high-scoring game with a Miami of Ohio team that's in the top 50 in terms of total possessions per game. So like the over and Miami of Ohio laying that 5.
So you're not afraid at all that the team might be a little bit tight, knowing that they could accomplish this. It's not very often we get an undefeated team in the regular season of college basketball. Doesn't matter the conference, but no nerves tonight, you think, for the players?
I think it really goes both ways. Are they going to be a little bit nervous? Probably, but they're probably going to be also very motivated to try to prove a point that, hey, you keep saying that we're pulling out these close games, because keep in mind that Western Michigan game was a life or death game. Even that game against Toledo, they got off to a nice comfortable lead. They don't cover that spread. I think that they're going to really try to be able to prove a point here. So I mean, there's a little bit of nerves, but there's also a chip on the shoulder as well. So I think it balances itself out.
VCU, Dayton, Dayton 1.5. You make VCU 3.5.
Yep, I do like VCU here outright on the money line. I was seeing them as an underdog, and with VCU, I think that they're just really able to take advantage of the kryptonite of Dayton. That's giving it up from three-point range. You're outside the top 250 in terms of opponent's three-point shooting percentage. Dayton has really been living on turnovers this year. Top 10 team in terms of turnovers generated on a per-possession basis on defense. VCU has been pretty solid in terms of taking care of the ball, and it's not a Dayton team that does a great job on the glass. In terms of percentage of missed shots to become an offensive rebound, they're outside the top 265 in the country. Other than Emil Letang, you really don't have a lot down low. It's a VCU team that's a little bit more of a holes greater than some of its parts sort of team that does shoot it well from three. They shoot over 36% from three, right around the top 50 in all of college basketball. Dayton's actually taking a bit of a setback. They are outside the top 200 with their three-point shooting percentage, and that's really been the main weakness for this VCU team. So with VCU, I feel like they're the unrightful underdog here. I took them out right on the money line at a plus price.
All right, very good. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Peterson, our guest, he's on the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on X at GUnit_81. He is the host of the Coast to Coast Hoops podcast right here at VSiN, and you get his write-ups every single day at VSiN.com as well. So in league play this year, Penn was 11-2 to the under. They take on Brown tonight. What do you make of the total?
Yeah, I was seeing this total above 140, and I had to take the under in this spot. Like with this Penn team, they're a team that shoots really well from three. They are a top 20 team in terms of their three-point shooting percentage. Is Brown going to be able to do their part with this total, though? It's a Brown team that is currently outside the top 330 in terms of points scored on a per-possession basis. They guard the three well, though. For this Brown Bears team, they allow teams at home to shoot less than 30.5% from three-point range. That's a top 50 mark in the country. And Penn is not a team that scores down low. While their three-point shooting percentage is so good, they're outside the top 300 in terms of their two-point shooting percentage. For Brown, they just haven't been able to find offense outside of Landon Lewis all season long. He's their lone double-figure scorer with about 16 points per game. And it's a Penn team that has actually been very solid with their three-point shooting defense as well. They're a top 75 team in terms of opponent's three-point shooting percentage. And when you think of Fran McCaffrey's teams, you think of teams that are super-duper up-tempo. This is a Penn team that is outside the top 140 in terms of total possessions per game. They're not playing at some sort of ridiculous pace. So I do like this spot here. And as well, I do think that they should be the favorite. I've seen that they went down to being an underdog. So like them on the money line, but total up at around 146. I just don't see Brown doing their part with this total. So I like the under.
How about UNLV San Diego State?
This is another game that I took an under on. With both of these teams good in terms of generating turnovers, UNLV in games played away from home, actually 28th in the country in terms of turnovers generated on a per-possession basis. San Diego State just all around has been a top 25 team with this respect as well. With UNLV, they have been sloppy with the ball all season long, and they've had a little bit of a tough time executing down low. I will say Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn has been a machine here in conference play. He's shooting like 45%+ from three in Mountain West play, but San Diego State has been a rock-solid defense with that respect as well. Overall, top 45 team in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis. UNLV playing up tempo, top 65 team in terms of total possessions per game, but both teams as well have had their turnover issues on offense, both outside the top 180 in terms of ball security, so that total is now down to about 153.5. Still think you've got a little bit of wiggle room for that under.
One other game tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock out here on the West Coast. You think that Seton Hall can maybe win this game against St. John's tonight? What do you make of the total here?
This is a game that I think is so intriguing because you've got Seton Hall team that has not been able to shoot to save their lives, but they do such a great job giving themselves second and third chances. 37% of their missed shots become an offensive rebound, and I think that that's going to keep them in this game. I was seeing this before at 5.5, went down to 4.5. I personally did take the points with Seton Hall, and for St. John's, this is a team that's absolutely looking to gun it right now in terms of total possessions per game. They are in the top 35 in the country, and if you think that this game is going to come down to the point spread, which I think that it's going to be close enough for that, you get the late fouls in this game as well. The total's right now sitting at 136.5. Felt like it should have been closer to a 139.5, so I like the points here with the Seton Hall Pirates, and I'm in on that total over.
Very good. Great stuff, Greg. Hang tight. You're going to stick around for one more segment. We have to get into the loaded schedule tomorrow. Great games across the board in college basketball. And What do you do? Duke's been absolutely mashing everybody. Now they're laying 17.5 against North Carolina. Is that too many points? We'll ask Greg coming up next. We continue talking college basketball. Greg Hoops Peterson on the Progressive Guest Line, host of the Coast to Coast Hoops podcast here at VSiN, daily write-ups at VSiN.com. I want to get into some of these marquee matchups that we have tomorrow, Hoops. Before we do that, this game going on right now, Missouri Valley, flying over the total again here. Illinois-Chicago killing Murray State, 86-68, double revenge game. The earlier game today, Drake, that was also double revenge, and they smoked Belmont. That game flew over the total. Have your numbers been pretty close to these Missouri Valley totals that have been posted, or with the move? What have you noticed overall with your numbers compared to the market because of this, you know, the trend over several years now, but how many games have gone under here?
Yeah, my numbers have been very much lower than the opening total, but on the closing total, they've been pretty close. I took a few overs yesterday that didn't quite get there, like that Southern Illinois game. Man, Southern Illinois just could not shoot against Drake to save their lives. But like I made the total in that Drake versus Belmont game, 152. A lot of places closed it at a 152.5. Like, I thought you had great value on the open, but once it got steamed down, I thought that it went a little bit too far. And perhaps we are seeing a little bit of overcorrection on these Missouri Valley Conference totals, because you mentioned it going into this year, about two-thirds of games over the last decade or so had been going under the total. A lot of people are aware of that. And all these opening totals are getting pile driven down by 5+ points. I think that maybe we're starting to get a little bit of overcorrection. So it'll be very curious to see what happens with the semifinals on Saturday.
What do you think tomorrow then? Because Drake's won 11 in a row in Arch Madness with three different coaches. They didn't win a game from late January to March 4th. And now they're in the semis. You make the Drake catching 5.5 against Illinois-Chicago. So the shooting won't continue what they did today. But would you take the 5.5 against Illinois-Chicago?
I'd be willing to take 6+ with Drake. I made my line 5.5, okay. So in this case, 5 or less, I'll be willing to lay with Illinois-Chicago. 6 or more is going to be a buy point for me on Drake. But I mean, it is a Drake team that I've noted this all season long. I've been more willing to back them on the road rather than at home. I have no idea how. I have no idea why. But they've had some wackadoo splits where they're well outside the top 300 in terms of points on a per possession basis on defense when they're away from home, or when they're at home away from them. They're actually giving up fewer points per possession, and they're a relatively okay interior defense. Where they get lambasted is from 3-point range, and for those that have watched Arch Madness, what really goes into the abyss is 3-point shooting. I don't know if it's a sight line, I don't know if it's the rims, the backboards, what have you, but the 3-point shooting just really goes downward. So it helps out these teams that are a little bit stronger on the inside, are willing to take more 2-point shots. And Drake has been a team that has actually taken good care of the ball. Top 75 team in terms of fewest turnovers on a per possession basis. Illinois-Chicago is a little bit sloppier with it. Can't make Drake the favorite, but I think that they should be able to hold in this game.
All right, very good. So I'm looking at the screen right now. Games tomorrow. Duke and North Carolina. Caleb Wilson, unfortunately for the Tar Heels, out for the year. I love that kid. He's an absolute stud. Think he's going to be a really good pro. I laughed when I saw 15.5. I wanted to bet Duke, but I'm like, oh my God. It's 17.5, Greg. What do you do with that number?
I just can't lay this number in this big of a rivalry. Like, Duke is an absolute machine. They are the best team in all of college basketball, but that's why you have point spreads. Every team has a buy point. Every team has a sell point. And North Carolina is still a good interior team. They're a top 20 team in terms of opponents' 2-point shooting percentage, albeit without Caleb Wilson. That does go downward a little bit. But they still have a nice little post presence in Henry Vissar. Keep in mind what he was able to do over at Arizona last year. He's been giving the team 16 points, 8 boards. He's able to pop a few threes. It's a North Carolina team that they don't shoot it great from three, but if there is one thing about Duke, it's they're a good 3-point shooting team. They're not necessarily an amazing 3-point shooting team. They shoot about 35.5% from 3-point range. That hovers right around about 85th in the country. Very efficient on defense. They are number one in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis. There's no denying that. They defend better than anyone else in all of college basketball, but 17.5 in a game that that you know North Carolina is going to be up for. I just feel like it's too many. Like, I made my number 12.5, and I thought that I was just like, man, I feel like I'm being a little disrespectful here to North Carolina, but we have to respect Duke. 17.5 has just gone too far for me. It's the old Godfather offer that you can't refuse on North Carolina here.
All right, two games, same number, 7.5. One team struggling, one team on fire. How about Florida, 7.5 at Kentucky?
This is one where I'm going to be willing to take the points with Kentucky. I set my line at 5.5, so I certainly do think that Florida deserves to be the favorite. I just still have a little bit of question mark with Florida and that backcourt play, because with Florida, they're still outside the top 300 in terms of three-point shooting percentage, and that's why I feel like they might have the highest ceiling of any team in all of college basketball. They are having all the success that they're having with having absolutely no three-point shooting whatsoever. Like, if Boogie Flan can figure it out, and he's looked better over the last few games, if he can be the Boogie Flan that we saw in the NCAA tournament last year, look out below, because Florida has a lot of talent. They do such a great job down low, but you do have a Kentucky team that saw as Malachi Moreno is able to grab some boards. I know that guys like Diabate and company were dealing with some injuries, but I do think that Ortega Owe has been able to find a little bit of something as well. Rupp Arena, still a very good arena, so I am going to be willing to take the points here with Kentucky, as I did make them a 5.5 point dog, so willing to take the 7.
Why do you want to back Purdue laying 7.5 against Wisconsin, especially they've lost some big games at home?
Yeah, it's been rough for Purdue to say the least, but is there a more volatile team in all of college basketball than Wisconsin? Like, this is a Wisconsin team that went on the road and they knocked off Michigan, and then they laid a big giant stinker against USC at home. Like, this is a Wisconsin team that takes over 50% of their field goal attempts from three-point range. If they're hitting them, they might win this game outright. If they are missing them, they might lose this game by 20 points. And I think that Purdue is a little bit ticked off over what has happened over the last few games. I think that they've got a nice edge down low with Trey Kaufman-Wren along with Oscar Clough, give you 16-plus rebounds per game. It is a Wisconsin team that doesn't do the world's greatest job in terms of guarding the arc. And for Purdue and all the issues that they've had, they're still a top three team in the country in terms of points per possession on offense. Going to be looking to play relatively slow and controlled, but I think that this is a good bounce back spot for Purdue at Mackey Arena.
Louisville is favored at Miami by 1.5. Your thoughts on that number, and your thoughts if they're awesome, you know, talent. Brown's so good, he's going to be a very high pick in the NBA draft. Do you think he's going to play in the game?
Well, if he doesn't play in the game, it's going to be a little bit of doomsday. I'm sort of half in, half out on them. I think that he plays, but I don't think that he's going to be fully 100%. I personally made Miami the 1.5-point favorite. I think it needs to be noted that Louisville's another one of those teams that they just hoist up a whole bunch of threes. This is a Louisville team that they take over 52% of their shots from three. That is a top 5 percentage in all of college basketball. And for Miami, they do give it up quite a bit from three, but Louisville just doesn't shoot it the same from three-point range when they're away from the KFC Yum Center. And for Miami, they're a really good rebounding team. They don't allow you to be able to get second and third chances. And for Miami, Malik Renu, I think, is one of the most underrated players in the country. 18-plus points. He's able to give you 7 boards. He's able to pop a few threes as well. It's a Miami team that has stunned a lot of people. You have to have a little bit of pause with this Miami team in a late spot because they don't necessarily shoot it well at the free throw line. I'm below 70% at the charity stripe. But I do think that with the way the Louisville just hasn't been the same team on offense away from home, and you mentioned it with that Brown injury, that is a big deal for Louisville. I just thought Miami's a 1.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I'm surprised Louisville's favored there. And also, what about this now? With the narrative flipping now and Auburn being out of the tournament, according to a lot of people, and Miami securely in, the way it seems, they're on the road and they got to have a game against their arch nemesis, Alabama. They're catching 8.5. The first time they played, it was 96-92. Total in this game is 176.5. Did you have a chance to dive into that game yet?
I did. I'm going to be willing to take the 8-plus here with Auburn. As I set my line, I just don't think that Alabama plays good enough defense to be able to cover this number. Like, the best defense Alabama plays, I don't know if you saw the viral video of them playing 5-on-4 for like 15 seconds against Georgia. That was like the one possession where they played defense the entire game, which I thought was hilarious. But with this Alabama team, they don't necessarily allow you a lot of good, clean looks, but they just don't put you under duress. And the reason why I think that Auburn is going to be upholding this game is the one thing that they do a great job of is being able to grab second and third chances. That allows them to be able to get to the free throw line. That allows them to be able to get points with the clock stop. I don't know if I can quite go with a 176.5 to the over, because at that point, like an 87-84 game, you still cash the under. And if you are even off a little bit with your three-point shooting in this game, that does help out to the under. But that said, for Auburn, I don't think that they win this game outright. You mentioned it. It's a gotta have a game. And if we're putting Auburn in the NCAA tournament over Miami of Ohio, what the heck are we doing here? But that said, with Auburn, I'm willing to take A plus with them.
How about a total? Boston College under?
Yep, I've been loving these Boston College unders because they play respectable defense. They're a top 100 team in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis. They play relatively slowly. They're outside the top 265 in terms of total possessions per game. And they're a bad team that hasn't quite quit on you yet. Like, for Boston College, they're just genuinely bad. It's not as if they aren't trying or anything like that. They're actually trying. They're playing some halfway solid defense. They just can't shoot to save their lives. Like, they're outside the top 330 in terms of their three-point shooting percentage, in terms of their free-throw shooting percentage, outside the top 275 in terms of their two-point shooting percentage. Like, you just go down the list. And for Notre Dame, they shoot over 39% from three-point range at home. That goes down to less than 31.5% away from home. They've dealt with injuries all season long. That initial opener I saw was 139.5. Might have ticked down a point or two, but even if it does, I'm going to be in on that under.
Greg, you're the man. Crack open a cold one tonight. Have a great weekend, okay?
I'll be hard at work, gentlemen. I always appreciate you.
Here we go.
Thanks.
Greg Peterson, coast-to-coast hoops right here at VSiN. My God, does he know college basketball. Bruce Marshall, more bets coming up next. There's a game going on tonight that couldn't be much different stylistically. He has an opinion on it. Find out which one it is next.